On a Monday, you're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is home to more than 64,000 farms spread across over 14 million acres with nearly 1.3 million cows. That's from the USDA's 2020 overview data. Agriculture, it is front and center to the work of the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. But it's an agency that has a hand in a wide variety of other things, business trade practices, identity theft, food safety, to name a few. What should the department's leader know? It's 800-642-1234. Randy Romanski is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Secretary Romanski, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Great. Thank you for having me. It's good to be with you this morning.
Good to be with you. You know, Wisconsin has been leading the nation in farm bankruptcies. Our state is battling runoff from ag, climate change. What are the biggest challenges you see facing farmers?
Well, most recently, and we've all had to react to it. It's affected us all. But COVID-19 has had a dramatic impact on agriculture and farmers, like it has on the rest of us. And the economic disruptions that have gone along with it have been and continue to be a challenge in some different ways. But I guess I would start off by saying that agriculture is part of Wisconsin's past, present, and future, and it's $104.8 billion industry in the state of Wisconsin. It's an economic strength for our state. One in nine people currently working in the state of Wisconsin is in a job related to agriculture. So while agriculture is an industry, has struggles as any industry does at times, it continues to be a strong economic driver for our state.
Well, let's look at those struggles and specifically small family farms that have struggled with that choice of either getting big or, you know, not competing with high production farms or sell out and get out of the business because you can't make ends meet as a small farmer. How do you approach that question with small family farms who are experiencing that?
Well, I think one of the economic opportunities in the state, and it's been here for many years, is that Wisconsin has tremendous diversity in its farms and the kinds of farmers we have. We have large, medium, and small farmers. We have people who do cash crop, livestock, dairy, specialty crops. We are a leader in so many different kinds of production in the state, and there have been economic challenges facing farmers, and there's a tremendous amount of stress that goes with being a farmer. I think one of the things that we look at is as farmers face this decision about how they operate into the future, it's important that we want all sizes of farms, all different types of farms to be successful. So one of the things that you talked about is how many farms we have and dairy farms. We still have we have more than 20% of all dairy farms in the entire United States right here in Wisconsin. And our average herd size, having that many farms, is still, I think, just a little bit south of 200. That means we have farms of all sizes, from the very large to very small. And our goal is to have them all be successful in the state of Wisconsin.
You know, labor shortages have hit other industries, and you need people to milk the cows, you need to feed the livestock, work the fields, process and deliver orders. How is the ag industry in Wisconsin finding workers?
Well, the ag industry is like any other industry right now, and there are challenges finding workforce, whether it's food production, processing, working in the fields. It's been a challenge, and I guess one of the things that we as an agency have tried to do is work with the industry and just continue to talk about the opportunities that are out there. You may be familiar with it, but we have a couple of programs that we have targeted here at the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection to focus on the future workforce, current and future workforce, but two in particular take the long-term approach of looking at what's going to be available, what's available now, And what kind of jobs are available in the future? We have an Ag Youth Council where we have incoming high school seniors or high school seniors working with us. We have monthly meetings with them, and we talk about job opportunities, the future of Wisconsin, making connections in agriculture, things of that nature. We want the best and brightest minds in our state to be thinking about what their future in agriculture looks like. We've also worked with the Department of Workforce Development on something called the Agriculture Education and Workforce Development Council, which is hoping to structure paths for people to join the industry at a variety of levels. They may decide to work on the farm, but there are also processing jobs, there's transportation jobs, there's accounting jobs. Opportunities are endless, and the needs are certainly there.
But finding people interested in farm jobs, I mean, this is long hours, labor intensive. And then when McDonald's or Walmart down the street is paying more, how do you entice people to work on the farm?
I think the important thing to focus on is the contribution that is being made by agriculture to the local community, to the state's economy, and I think there needs to be a focus on the entire gamut of what's available in agriculture, because we are talking partly about, you know, milking the cows or working on the farm. But again, there's applicators, there's people who work in transportation processing. There's a wide range of jobs available, and there clearly is a need.
Well, you know, some farmers rely on the federal program called H-2A, offering workers seasonal visas to work in ag. How is that program working out for Wisconsin farmers?
It's clearly a program that is welcomed by farmers in the state. I think access to labor is important, and I think every opportunity we have to be supportive of the industry as they work to utilize that, access that program for additional employees is a good thing to be supportive of.
How do you feel about the Farm Workforce Modernization Act that's working through Congress, passed the House in March? It would address concerns with the H-2A program. How would this legislation affect Wisconsin?
I'm not familiar with all the details of the legislation, and obviously we'll have to see what ultimately passes. So it's difficult to speculate on what might happen or what might be in the final version. But I can just say that it's really important for the industry to have access to a skilled, dedicated workforce. And if that legislation ultimately helps with that regard, then I think it's something that will be a benefit to agriculture.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, Randy Romanski. His position was confirmed by the State Senate last month. You can join in. What do you think should be the top priorities at the agency? What should the department's leader know? Do you work as a meat processor or a meat inspector? Do you feel supported? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Matt from Wausau writes in to ask, how has the emergence in the last couple decades of CAFOs, these farms with over about 700 cows, how has it affected small family farms, and have these large factory farms affected the environment? And as a note here, I'll say, you know, CAFOs have increased by 55% in less than a decade.
Matt, thanks for that question. We do hear this from time to time, and I guess I'll go back to something I mentioned on the front end, is that in Wisconsin, one of the important parts and strength of the agriculture industry is that there's not a focus on which size of operation should happen. That's ultimately a decision that's made by the individual business. And again, ultimately, in Wisconsin, we need farms of all sizes to be successful, small, medium, and large. And it's important that that we have that diverse strength in Wisconsin.
You mentioned COVID hitting family farms hard. What is the debt situation like for our farmers in this pandemic?
Sorry, did you say debt?
D-E-B-T? The debt. Yes, the debt situation. Yeah, yeah, because you know, we have led the nation in farm bankruptcies, and you mentioned that COVID is hitting family farms particularly hard.
Clearly, again, and COVID's had a dramatic impact on everybody and on the economy. Agriculture is no different, and farmers clearly have felt stress over the last several years. We have something that's called the Wisconsin Farm Center right here at the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and they provide resources to farmers, and they have these challenging conversations with farmers about debt load and how to what their potential future plan might be, and mitigating financial issues. We also have programs at the Farm Center to help with try to get resources to farmers. And we appreciate Governor Evers taking such a strong position to get funding for farmer mental health programming in the state. We have 24/7 hotline. We have counselors that are ready to help. And we have a dedicated staff here, many of whom have a financial background to have conversations with farmers. The Farm Center has mental health vouchers available. And what we can say is that the last 2 years have been relatively consistent in the number of vouchers that that we've seen farmers access. And in fact, they're higher over the last couple of years than they've been in the last 10 years. But what we're also seeing is that when farmers request a voucher, they're much more likely to actually use the voucher, which means, number one, the need is there, and number two, they're finding the resources that we have available to them. That hasn't always been the case in the past. So the important thing is that we make resources available to farmers so that they can access them as they need them.
Yeah, what would you say is the return on investment for these programs and resources? What is working at the Farm Center that you can really see results?
Well, I will talk a little bit about the Farmer Mental Health program in that over the last 2 years. So last year, there were 229 vouchers issued in the state of Wisconsin, and like I said, about 77% of those were redeemed. The year before, there were 223. The year before that, 153. The year before that, 39. So there's been a dramatic increase in the number of farmer mental health vouchers issued. But again, the important thing is that there's more farmers using that resource. I guess, you know, the other kinds of things that I would say is our Farm Center staff is extremely dedicated. They spend lots of time working with farmers to try to mitigate some of the financial circumstances that they're experiencing at any given time. So it's really kind of difficult to put a metric on that kind of human capital that they're doing, but they have a lot of success stories, and success can take many different forms. It could be everything from they changed their finances a little bit and they are in a better financial state right now, or it could be that they've chosen to take a different direction and modified the type of operation they might have. And in some cases, the farmer might transition out and transition the farm to somebody else. So there's a lot of different paths.
Yeah,
a lot of different scenarios that you see.
Well, let's pause there with State Agriculture Secretary Randy Romanski, who is with us on the latest developments in the agency that oversees and provides services to Wisconsin agriculture, consumers, businesses. Have you taken advantage of grants awarded to farmers in Wisconsin? What was that experience like? What questions do you have about how the state is cracking down on identity theft or managing the Do Not Call registry? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In August, Governor Evers directed an additional $50 million in direct payments to support farm operations hit hard in the pandemic, as we've been talking about. He announced another round of the Wisconsin Farm Support Program in August. In total, the governor has directed more than $100 million from federal pandemic aid to boost farmers. Join in your experiences, 800-642-1234. Randy Romanski is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection with us for about six more minutes. Let's go to Pompeo joining us from Toma. Hi, Pompeo. Go ahead.
Good morning. So I see that organic farmers have somewhat of a penalty to be certified. They have to pay $900+ and a percentage of their income, and also that you have to know all the pesticides that they use and everything, herbicides. And conventional farmers get a lot more subsidies, and they don't have to tell you what kind of pesticides, herbicides, fungicides they use. And that just seems a little bit unfair. I think there should be more support for organic farmers getting certified and a little bit more regulation so that we know what kind of pesticides are going into our food and what kind of practices are in the food that we're eating. Thank you very much.
Pompeo, thank you. So regulation and transparency, Secretary Romanski.
Well, I'll say this. We're really fortunate in Wisconsin, and we lead in so many things, and which, again, speaks to that diversity we've been talking about and the strength of our ag economy. Wisconsin is the second largest organic state, or the number two organic state in the United States, and in a strong way. We have a variety of organic producers all across the state, and we're fortunate for that because I think it's another way to look at the economy and another way to farm. As far as the standards that occur and what has to happen, of course, there are guidelines that are set at the federal level to try and have some uniformity in what those standards look like. And again, obviously, Wisconsin farmers are finding a tremendous opportunity to choose that route if that's what they think is best for their bottom line. It does take time and it takes effort, but we're fortunate we have an organic advisory council that is attached to our agency to try to give us input about the industry along the way.
So how would the advisory council be helping to even the playing field between conventional farming and organic farms and getting more organic farms up and running?
I guess the one thing that we benefit from is getting them in the room and listening to the kinds of things that they would have to say about that. The other thing that I would say is we should look at opportunities to support that industry whenever possible. In Governor Evers' last budget, he proposed a variety of measures to support the agriculture industry, many of which were included and ultimately had some bipartisan support. But there were some programs that he recommended putting in place to try to bolster the organic and small farm diversity program, small farm diversity that's out there, that ultimately didn't get included in the final version of the budget. But what I would say is this is an opportunity for us to continue to have conversations about that. And I think the Organic Advisory Council can help guide some of our thoughts on that.
Pompeo, thanks for the call as we talk with Randy Romanski, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Let's go to Chris now in Bessemer, Michigan. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my phone call. So I do live in Bessemer, just over the Wisconsin border, and northern Wisconsin, as you know, is known for its many supper clubs. And just recently, my husband was saying to me he felt like the cost of steak was getting too high, even for a luxury meal. And I was just wondering, and you had already brought up, you know, the trickle-down effect of agriculture and how it affects the Wisconsin economy as a whole. Is the industry doing anything to further market the importance of supporting local agriculture in terms of trickle-down effects?
Chris, thank you. Secretary Romanski.
Oh, Chris, thank you for asking that question. I think we could talk for another half hour or more about that issue alone. I'll try and condense it because it's an excellent question. What you're experiencing with the cost of a good steak at a great Wisconsin supper club is one of those supply chain issues that we talk about. And the disruptions in the supply chain have happened, and that's caused some of the scarcity of things for a while. It affected farm prices for a while, and now in some cases it may affect availability. And you may see it in a store where you go to a grocery store and it'll say, you know, we have fewer items of this available because they didn't arrive. So we still see some of those supply chain disruptions. Well, so what is the industry doing? Here's what I can say. It's a longer term approach. What we have is a lot of livestock, a lot of animals that are waiting to be processed because the processing capacity hasn't kept up. Now, part of that was because of some of the plants closing down during COVID-19. But that issue was around even before COVID-19 hit. It's just been exacerbated by the pandemic. What we need to do is increase the supply chain from the production side. And Governor Evers proposed in his budget a three-pronged plan to do that. Number one, meat processing grants to help plants modernize and expand if they want to. Number two, going back to this labor discussion that we talked about earlier, Kate, a talent development program to encourage people to enter the meat processing workforce and provide tuition assistance to do so. And step number three, making sure that the state has enough meat inspectors so that we can work with the industry. Because if we don't have an inspector present when processing is going on, they can't process, they can't slaughter. So those are really, it's a three-point plan of what we're doing. The good news is some of those items were included in the governor's budget. In fact, I'm going before the Joint Finance Committee tomorrow to request the funding that Governor Evers included in his budget for meat processing grants. And we hope to get those out the door to help with that supply chain. And we've also gotten four of the six meat inspectors that the governor requested. So that's a three-step approach to try to address that. And hopefully we'll see that supply chain ease.
Well, Secretary Romanski, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Randy Romanski, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. This is the Ideas Network.